go ahead and get our Bibles open to Exodus chapter number 16, where we see the setup for the arrival of manna for the very first time in Israel's history. At this point, the Israelites have come across the Sinai Peninsula. The crossing seems to have been on the Gulf of Suez, and they camped again at Aqaba right before arriving in what's called the Wilderness of Sin, which is the beginning of that region where Mount Sinai or Mount Sinai is located. So I believe we are now on the east side of the line formed from the Gulf of Aqaba up through the Dead Sea, the Jordan, up toward Galilee. So we're east of that line now, which is also where Midian is located and where Mount Sinai must be located. So chapter 16, verse 1 of Exodus says, they set out from Elim, that'd be the place of palm trees over in the Sinai Peninsula, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. So they have arrived in close proximity to their Mount Sinai appointment site, 1 month after their Exodus began. So they've been 4 weeks on their journey, and they have now run out of the supplies that they left Egypt with, and they are in a wilderness where no such supplies exist, especially for a group as large as theirs. So what do? They panic and grumble. Verse 2. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of he who is in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So this is the unfaithful reaction of the Israelis as a whole, maybe not every single individual, because they're out of supplies and figure they're about to die of starvation. Oh, it would have been better to die by the plagues in Egypt, full of food, than to be out here with this Moses and Aaron and this he who is God, and we're going to die without any assistance. So God is now going to prove to them that they should have trusted him and that they can trust him. Verse 4. Then he who is said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So now we have a real quick overview of how the manna is going to work. The Israelis will be expected to gather it 6 days a week. So they will have to put some effort into this. God will provide, and they will collect. This, as I said last time, is the source of that line in the model prayer of Jesus, "Give us this day our daily bread." It is a verbal expression of trusting God to provide what you need for that particular day you're living through. Now, on the sixth day of every week, God is going to provide a double portion of this manna so that the Israelis can prepare for their day off, the seventh day, which they've not had for decades, perhaps a couple hundred years, because they've been ethnic slaves in Egypt and have had to work 7 days a week, probably 12, 14, 16 hours a day, no vacations, no holidays, no time off. So God is going to give them a protected weekly day off for the entire group. And so he will provide double portions of food on the day before that so that they don't even have to cook. They just do all their cooking on the sixth day and then just eat on the seventh day what's been provided. Verse number 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was he who is that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Now, I happen to believe that we're looking here at something that's happening on a Sabbath day, and that he is going to then start the first week of manna provision on the day following the Sabbath day. That is the first day of the week. Now, it just so happens, and you can check this out in my chronological companion to the Bible notes, that I believe the 15th day of the second month, which was just referenced up in the first verse of this chapter, was in fact a Sabbath. And therefore, when the sun went down on that day and it shifted over to the 16th, that was a first day of the week. And that this first week of manna will happen exactly according to the sequence of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day. They'll have a double portion on the sixth day of this week of provision. And then the seventh day following will be a Sabbath. There will be no manna on that day. All right, so Moses and Aaron are trying to get them prepared for that. At evening, you're going to know that it was he who is who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of God, because he has heard your grumbling against he who is. For what are we that you grumble against us? So Moses and Aaron, and it's Aaron doing the talking. We've kind of established that repeatedly. Moses doesn't feel comfortable verbalizing things. So he gets it from God, passes it on to his brother Aaron. Aaron passes it on to the people. So they have been grumbled at as the leaders by a faithless group of Israelis. And so the response is, well, you guys are griping about God, not us. And so you will find out tomorrow morning what God is going to provide overnight for you. And then you shouldn't be doing any more grumbling. Verse 8. Moses said, "When he who is gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because he who is has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against he who is." And that is where we find out it's not going to just simply be manna that's provided. That is the bread substitute. There's also going to be flesh or meat that's provided as well, probably going back to what they had grumbled about to Moses. Oh, it would have been better if we died next to the pots of meat and full of bread. If we died full of meat and bread back in Egypt, than to die here with nothing, either bread or meat. So God's going to provide both at the beginning of the manna experience. Verse number 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before he who is, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of God appeared in the cloud. Now the cloud has been there the whole time. And this is the Shekinah glory of God, the visible presence of God. I think it's the physical presence of the Holy Spirit based on some passages from the book of Isaiah. This seems to be where the glory flares up from time to time in a special show of power. Because the glory is described just ordinarily as being a shining cloud during the day and a blazing fiery cloud at night. And I think it goes up like a column of smoke, perhaps even rotating like a whirlwind, because that's how Ezekiel sees it, is like a whirlwind. And so I think it probably goes up in a pillar from the ground level up into the sky and then kind of rolls out like an umbrella over the entirety of Israel's encampment. Because in another passage in the Old Testament, the glory of God is referred to as a canopy that's overshadowing the people. And we also know that they did not freeze at night in the wilderness, nor were they cooked in the daytime by the sun during the entire wilderness experience. So that would make good sense if you have a nice canopy cloud of God's presence over the top of the encampment, which holds the warmth in at night, because desert nights are cold, people. They are freezing. But at the same time, desert days are really hot because the skies are clear and the sun is putting all those rays down on you. So cloud cover breaks that up. And so that's probably what we're talking about. So in this case, they're looking at this visible presence of God, and it flares up with more light than usual, just as was predicted. Verse 11, "And he who is said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them at twilight,'" or between the evenings, that is, after the sun goes down, "'you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and then you shall know that I am he who is your God.' And so in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and then in the morning, dew lay round the camp." We'll talk about the dew in a moment. Let's talk about the quail first. This is a single instance on this occasion of quail showing up. And so these birds, which can be found scattered all over this region of the world, even in the scrubby areas, God masses them together and basically just drops this huge covey of quail on top of the Israeli camp once the sun goes down on the Sabbath day, the 15th, turning into the first day of the week on the 16th. And all the Israelis have to do is just go out, pick up all of these quail, pluck them, gut them, and cook them, and they've got a nice, tasty meat meal. So that's the evening. The next morning, though, when they get up, when the dew would normally form on all the flat surfaces in the camp. And so you understand about the whole idea of dew. It's just the atmospheric moisture, because of the change in temperature, starts condensing and forming droplets on all flat surfaces. So in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, that is, when it evaporated, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. Now, in other places, it describes it as being spherical, like a dew drop. But it is flaky in its consistency. It is white, and its taste is like a bread made with a little bit of honey. And so this is what forms after the dew dries out every morning around the Israeli campment. And when the people saw it, verse 15 says, they said to one another in Hebrew, "Manna, manna." That's the question that means, what is it? So they've never seen anything like this before. They've experienced dew their entire lives. Dew is a phenomena that happens all the time. They've experienced it on their Exodus journey for the last month. But never before, when the dew evaporated, did it leave little white, dewdrop-shaped, flaky bits of something on the ground. And so, verse 15, when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "Mana, what is it?" For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It's the bread that he who is has given you to eat." So this is what I was telling you about. I told you God was going to rain down or provide for you food, bread. Verse 16, "This is what he who is has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as you can. You shall take an omer of it according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." Now, an omer is, it's about 2 liters worth of material. So think of a 2-liter pop bottle. So just cut the top off of it so that you can dump stuff into it. And imagine going out and picking up this flaky material off of the flat surfaces, basically the ground, the rocks, all around your encampment, until you've got enough pinches of that to drop it in here and fill up a 2-liter pop bottle. That's an omer. That's one day's ration of flour substitute that they're now going to use to cook with. One day's ration for each person. So if you've got little kids, you're going to obviously have to collect more than 1 2-liter pop bottle full for yourself. You've got to collect it for each of your family members. So this is what he who is has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as you can, as he can. You shall each take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. So it's not a matter of they went out and spent like 10 minutes getting one day's worth of this manna. They would have had to spend probably several hours of gathering in order to get what they'd need for their household. And they are estimating it as they're doing it. They don't have like an omer measure that they're using to do this. They're using whatever it is that they can put this stuff in and gathering by, you know, eye gauge, about 1 omer's worth for each one of the family members. So some of the people would have ended up with more because they overestimated, and some of them would have been a little bit shy of an omer's worth. But what they discovered when they started turning it into food, either baking it into cakes or making it into a porridge, they had exactly 1 day's ration for each person, meaning they had their daily God-given amount of sustenance. Verse 18, when they measured it with an omer, so they got it back and now they could actually measure it, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, meaning they might have thought they had tons and tons and tons of it, but when they got back, they had exactly 1 omer for every person in their house. And whoever gathered little had no lack, meaning if they were maybe weak or maybe they just were bad at estimating. And so they got to thinking about it as they're getting back and they're like, man, maybe I should have got more than this because I don't know that that's going to be enough for me to eat. When they measured it, it was exactly what they needed. So each of them gathered as much as he could eat in 1 day. Because remember, give us this day our daily bread. That's where the line comes from, is from this. They get exactly 1 day's ration, 1 day at a time. Verse 19. Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till morning. So this is one day's ration. Don't try to save any of it for tomorrow. Now, some of them apparently were stupid enough and rebellious enough that they saved a little bit back, which means they didn't eat as much in this first day as they could have. They put themselves on a partial ration for their first day. So verse 20, but they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they tried to keep some leftovers, tried to divide their ration up for the next day, and it got, we might say maggots, but I'm guessing it might be more like mealworms, but it started decaying, it started getting nasty. It's something you wouldn't want to eat. And Moses was angry with them because, why? Because they didn't show faith. He was frustrated that even though he told them, God is going to provide you this thing every single day of the week from here on out, they didn't trust God. Verse 21, morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. So this means that the Israelites are going to have to do some work. They're going to have to put some action to their faith. God provides, and they need to gather. So every morning they get up, and they've got about half of the day to get their omer per person ration. Because by the time the sun is at its height and it gets hot, the manna disappears. It just evaporates itself. Now, again, there are some logistics of this that I think we need to consider. It's the people who get up the earliest, like right at dawn, that are going to be able to gather their ration closer into camp. The ones who laze about in bed are going to have to go farther afield in order to gather their ration worth of manna. So it's one of those times where it pays to get up early in order to get your ration more conveniently. Verse number 22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what he who is had commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to he who is. Bake what you're going to bake and boil what you're going to boil and all that is left over aside to be kept till morning. So we've gone through that first week. That would be the 16th through the 21st of the week of manna for the very first time of its appearance. And on this 21st day, they see there seems to be more manna on the ground than normal. And as they're gathering it, they apparently gathered up quicker. They come not just simply to their omer, but they're able to come to a double omer. And they talk to Moses about it. Moses says, yeah, this is exactly what I told you. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. There will be no manna tomorrow. You need to cook everything today that you plan to eat tomorrow. And don't worry, it won't rot overnight this time, and it won't breed worms, because God wants you to take tomorrow off. Verse 24, so they laid it aside till morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to he who is. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. So this is the beginning of the Sabbath of the Israeli nation, that they get 6 days of work, that they're supposed to go out there and do work. That's expected of them. But on day number 7, they're supposed to relax. Take it easy. Everybody needs some time off from their physical labor. And that's a principle that supersedes the Israeli Sabbath command. And so the Israelis have been taught the principle, but they're not quite yet ready to put it into practice. This is all new to them. So even though they've got a double portion on day number 6, and they've already cooked enough that they can eat on day number 7, verse 27 reports that on the 7th day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. So some of the people got up early and went scrambling out of their tents because they need to get the stuff that's closer in, right? But there is nothing. And they should have known that there wouldn't be anything because Moses had told them there wouldn't be anything and told them why there wouldn't be anything. So he gets rather frustrated, just like God is frustrated. So verse 28, "He who is said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?'" So God is saying this to Moses, who will pass it on to Aaron, who will pass it on to Israel. "See, he who is has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the 6th day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the 7th day." So the people rested on the 7th day. So this is the inauguration, the clear inauguration of the Jewish cycle. 6 days of work, 7th day kickback, everybody takes the same day off. Verse 31. "Now, the house of Israel called its name manna," which means in Hebrew, what is it? "It was like coriander seed," so that's the shape, it's round, "white," that's the color, "and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." And so that's what I had been referencing earlier as to the details about what manna looked like and tasted like. Well, we're out of time for the day, but there's still more about manna, so come back tomorrow.